Welcome to my Life Beyond Postnatal Depression podcast. This is my playground and I'm your host, Susan Scollin. I believe that life can be simple and that our dreams can come true. Being a parent or wanting to become a parent can be fun, but to do that, we need to let go of what we thought parenting and life was and create our own adventure. Each Monday, I interview everyday people and wellness experts about our parenting journeys, what we've learned, who we've become, and ways we can be even more amazing people for ourselves and future generations. And join me on Thursdays for the beginner health sessions for simple ways you can up-level your own health and wellness. Be inspired. Today I'm chatting with Libby Rappin and Lisa Thompson, the co-founders of Blue Wave Wellbeing. Together they have a combined 20 plus years of experience leading human resources and corporate communication teams. After years of grinding, they reached the point of physical and mental exhaustion in their careers. Their journeys to well-being led them to rediscover the childlike wonder of playfulness to help them heal, and Blue Wave Wellbeing was born. Their professional development company makes well-being achievable for everyone and is built on the science of play. They teach their Pillars of Play framework, which helps individuals learn habits that they can do in 5 minutes or less. I'm all about creating more play and fun in our lives. Being an adult and adulting sucks when you can't have a laugh and enjoy what you're doing. So it was incredible to have this conversation with Libby and Lisa to learn about their personal struggles and how play literally is what they do now. It's how they live their life. If your company is all about play, then you can bet the founders are playing. And it's awesome to hear how different play is for each of them. Libby, Lisa, and I would love to know what you loved about this episode and what you're doing to add more play into your life. So share with us. Head over to my website, Instagram, or Facebook business page and tell us. Remember, there are no bad ideas, and what looks like play for us is different to what play is for you. See you inside.
Welcome, ladies. It's awesome to be here with you. Thank you so much for taking your time and, you know, getting on the podcast with me. I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So, Lisa, Libby, before we dive in, can you share with us what's bringing you the most joy at the moment?
Do you want to go first?
Oh, sure. I was just going to say, so I'm looking out a window right now as we're having this conversation, and the sunshine puts me in the best mood. Like, we had some really bad storms actually this weekend here in Michigan. And so just seeing the sunshine today, waking up to that just puts a huge smile on my face.
That's priceless, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And I think for me, when basically the same in the sense we're in Michigan, so it's summertime in Michigan, and just like the joy of being able to be outside, the adventures. And then of course, like I have a dog named Denver who I was like, that's the first thing, like, what brings you joy? I'm like, my dog.
That's so cute. What sort of dog is it?
He's a yellow lab.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah, so he's a big dog, but he's like our mascot. He goes everywhere with Libby and I.
And he's a big cuddler too, isn't he?
He is. He loves to cuddle, and he's got a lot of energy for like our hikes and all that fun stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And has it been, it's been super hot in the States, hasn't it? Have you guys had that heat wave as well?
I would say the last couple of days, not as bad as like they're getting out west.
Okay.
Things like that. Michigan is typically like pretty mild generally, but we've been having an amazing summer. So
cool. Awesome. Well, let's dive in. Can you guys, ladies, share with us what you do in the world? This is, you know, paramount to what we're doing. And then we'll get into your stories and how that all mapped out for you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So for us, we are the co-founders of Blue Wave Wellbeing. So we make well-being achievable utilizing the science of play. So basically we make well-being playfully simple, I guess is the best way to explain what we do. And we do this through a variety of different things. You know, our own stories really is where it all came from. You know, we both had our own struggles with finding that balance, with finding what well-being meant for us, and really getting out of that burnout and exhaustion mentality that we had for a long time. And so our goal is really to help individuals know that well-being is achievable. It's beautiful when we get to help people. We had a call earlier today and I left it and I was just like, dang, I love what we do, and knowing that we're going to help so many people become better leaders, become better people, and the impact that well-being actually can have on individuals. So, you know, in a tactical way, how we do it is through keynote speaking, workshops, you know, our YouTube channel, which Livy and I have a weekly YouTube channel, which is amazing. And just, you know, going out in the world and helping people know that it is achievable, you know, utilizing small habits.
And small habits are really important, aren't they? Like, can you dive into why that's so important for people to start that way?
Well, so for us, I mean, I think, or let's just think even larger, any goal that we have, if it seems too large, it seems too far away, too audacious, you know, at some point we might come up against these blocks. These are mindset blocks that are like, uh-oh, that's not achievable. I'm not worthy enough. I don't know enough. How is this ever going to be able to, you know, come into our reality? And so we pause. Mm-hmm. And so the power in micro steps or these tiny habits is that over time, as we accomplish certain things, it is more satisfying. It really builds us up. And so at that point, it gives us like the confidence to want to make bigger and bolder, I would say, actions, take bigger actions like in our life. So,
yeah. And you just made me think of something too. You know, some of us are love habits. We love habits. But we forget sometimes that we need to make new habits, or the old habits that might not be serving us as well, which we probably both had habits in our lives that were causing us to have like negative well-being. And so it's really the opportunity for you to like shift your mindset and add those new habits into it. And I, you know, when you were talking, it just made me think about like the habits that I have in my life now, like even just like chilling and drinking my Americano, which I'm very known for, and just like new habits that I didn't have years ago, and how the blessings have been when I finally have created new tiny habits, you know, to help me with that.
Yeah. And we're creating new habits all the time. It's not like that we're so stuck in our old ways that we're, the new habit is so scary, but we're actually already creating new habits all the time, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, we're constantly in change when you think about it. We have to cultivate level of awareness in order to even check in with ourselves and say, is this habit nourishing for me today at this moment in time? And a lot of us don't even do that because we're going about so robotically in our life. It's a habitual way of thinking. Yeah. So awareness is actually one of the pillars that we teach in our Pillars of Play framework. Mm-hmm. So,
well, let's dive into your story first, because otherwise I'll get totally sidetracked and we'll spend all our time there. So how did you get into this work? What brought you both together to then create Blue Wave?
So I would say, well, for me personally, why I'm on this path now is because I had started to experience like physical illness. I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's, leaky gut, autoimmune disorder. I was experiencing anxiety, intense moments of sadness or depression and not really understanding why. There was like brain fog mixed in there. And I just started asking myself, like, is this it? Like, this can't be all that life is about. And so I chose to take a natural approach to my health. And as I started diving into that, I started to understand more of the mind-body connection and how our mental and emotional state impacts what I believe to be like how we show up physically. Dis-ease creates disease in our life is what I believe. And so then led me down this, you know, journey of starting to practice mindfulness, and I became certified in meditation. And then I was living in Chicago at the time, and I moved back to Michigan, which is where I'm originally from. And everybody was like, you have to meet this girl named Lisa Thompson. It's like, who is Lisa Thompson? And it was like, I don't know, probably three times I was doing workshops or whatever around town, and people would be like, do you know Lisa Thompson? And I was finally like, okay, I think I signed up for one of your events, actually.
Yeah.
We finally met, and the rest is history. Here we are. So let you tell your story.
Well, mine's very similar. I mean, in the sense of, you know, I've always struggled with IBS. I've always struggled with, you know, insomnia, like the whole gamut. And it really came down to exhaustion. It came out to burnout. It came down to me, like, literally, we talk about this sometimes, like our physical health was struggling because we weren't taking care of ourselves mentally. Like it was such like, you know, your mind body connection, like you were saying. So, I actually like found myself on bed rest. Like I was at working my corporate job. I showed up white as a ghost, and I went home the next day and I was home for a whole week because I couldn't get out of bed. Like I physically couldn't. And that was when I realized like, oh man, like I know the habits, but I'm not changing my ways. And this was a big wake up call for me. And so that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I've been there and I know that it was avoidable. That's the thing for me, mm-hmm. is I know that if I would have added tiny habits to my life, if I would have just listened to myself and what I was going through, instead of just saying just one more month of this, just one more month, like maybe things would have been different, you know, years ago. But how, you know, kind of what she was saying about meeting synchronicity, like in so many beautiful ways, people were coming to me too. I think they were the exact same people. I remember I had her business card. She had a business card. And I remember having it in my purse. Yeah. And she had reached out and I never did the connection. Because again, it was a point in my life where I was going through some of the emotions. I still wasn't on my full journey yet. And it's funny because then we met and I was like, oh my gosh, where have you been my whole life? Like, we're starting a business and a YouTube channel and the rest is history.
It all sounds so easy. Yeah.
Business relationship there.
Was very fast. There was no dating. There was no dating. It was like, let's do this.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's gorgeous. So just on your health condition now, do you consider yourself recovered? Do you consider yourself healed? What do you consider? How would you term it?
Go ahead. So I would say that I have recovered.
Yeah.
However, and I've healed everything, you know, naturally. However, when my emotional state does get out of hand, I can have symptoms, but they're more controlled. So the symptoms for me would be bloating,
yeah.
or really intense, food reactions or things like that, feeling exhausted. But I'm so aware of them now because I went from feeling so bad to then knowing what it feels like to live vibrantly that I can pick up on it very quickly. And so I usually, when symptoms start to show up, it's like, okay, so these are the things I need to do in order to help me care for myself. And that's a combination of usually, taking things off the calendar, making more time for meditation, making more time for self-care. It might also mean I have to change some, you know, things around the way that I'm eating, doing more yoga, less weightlifting, right? It depends on what my symptoms are. And honestly, just ask my body what it needs. Okay. So I would say that still happens, but it's definitely not to the magnitude that it was. I was breaking into skin rashes and all sorts of things because of chronic and unmanaged stress before.
Yeah.
So I don't know
yeah.
how you.
Yeah. And it's so interesting that you're asking this question. I was on a run this morning with one of my friends who've been in my life. We've been runners together for about 8 years. And I was literally saying to her last week, I had an off day. And I just said to her, I said, I'm so glad I'm self-aware of what my body needs because I was able to recover from that day way faster than what I would have in the past. It's back to your point about what did my body need? Did I need sleep? Was it my food changes? Did I just need to slow down for the day? But I've learned, to your point, I've listened to my body and I'm starting to my awareness is so strong. It's actually beautiful. And so I was just super proud of myself this morning saying it. It's so cool to just be able to talk about it with someone who had seen me 8 years ago. And it's I'm finally not being oh, I'll just get through two more weeks. It's all good. And it's no, I had that reality check within 24 hours and I was making changes.
Yeah.
So I think it's that well-being journey, the more self-aware you are. And it's so funny because I think 6 years ago, if you would have talked to me about self-awareness, I would have been I'm aware of what I need. But now that I've really tuned in to who I am and what I need, it's been a game changer in my life.
Yeah. And now you give that gift to the world, which is pretty cool.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And I think both of us, I'll speak for myself, but the 180 that I did in my life was so significant. I was in corporate HR before this. So there's no mistake in all of the events and how they all built on each other to get me where I'm at now. But the reality is that I actually just lost my train of thought.
That's the best time. It'll come back to you. That's what always happens.
Yeah. Our gifts to the world. And
It became very obvious that there was an opportunity for me to bring mindfulness and meditation and positive psychology and all of these tools that had helped me heal that were more so focused on our emotional and mental health into the workplace.
Yeah.
I really was wow. Employers have way more response. They should be taking on much more responsibility to help employees manage stress. You know, there's a study out there that says almost 70% of people are saying that work is a significant source of stress. one in five U.S. adults is suffering from a mental illness. And so I started reading all of this stuff and I was like, oh my gosh, like I have to do something. Yeah. And it was a deep knowing that I was meant to be of service. And so, you know, everything has just really unfolded in saying yes to like sharing these gifts. Yes, there's a need for it in the market. Yes, there's an opportunity to do this. Yes, 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 to, you know, we need to get this knowledge into the world. And it's, I think the beautiful thing that we've learned that you alluded to is that this is not rocket science. This is nothing that, like, Lisa and I may have our own framework based on our experiences, but this is not something where you need to go out and find a completely unique way for taking care of yourself. We can Google all of these things. We all, you know, generally have an idea of what do we need to do to care for ourselves. The work comes in understanding the mind of like, why am I not doing these things that I know can help me feel good? Mm-hmm. And that's where we think that's like really important curriculum that businesses should be bringing into, you know, should be sharing with their employees specifically, because that's where a lot of the work that we do, but anybody should be starting to understand that within themselves. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't even just, this expands beyond the professional environment, right? Anything in our life, like, you know, what's holding me back? What fears do I have? Why do I not like to give feedback, even though I've attended 10 trainings on how to give feedback? Mm-hmm. Like, what is that wiring? What is that fear within me that doesn't still want to do that? Yeah. That's the work that needs to be done.
And earlier when I said, like, what we both went through was avoidable. Like, we both worked in the corporate world. Preventable. Sure. Yeah. Like, it, like, I just think about it so much in the sense that, imagine if I would have had these tools in my corporate job then, you know? And that's like, for me, I just like want to, like, I don't, obviously I love the path that I'm on, but it's like, you know, I just want that for other individuals to your point.
Yeah. And like you said, yes, it is it's avoidable, but if you never went through it, you would never potentially be right where you are today. And you wouldn't have those stories then to share with everybody and go, come along for the ride. We're going to change this. We're going to make some amazing changes. And we're going to do it from a play-based perspective, which is really exciting too.
Yes.
In the moment you feel like crap, but then you know there's gold at the end. Like, I've had so many experiences where things seem scary, or, you know, there's this fear. It took me forever to quit my job. Yeah. Forever to get through that conditioning of like, you have to be in the 9-to-5, the benefits, the great pay, like all of these things. It was like, it took me months to really have that. And here I am. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I need to be doing. I'm totally in my native genius right now.
And I think Carl Cease calls it an addiction, you know, that 9-to-5 with the paycheck on the week or the fortnightly or monthly pay, whatever you get, it's actually an addiction. So it's actually breaking an addiction to then come back in and go, what do I want to do? How do I want to, with micro habits, what do I want to create? And what's the first step to creating that? It's really interesting. Yeah. And you said before, like, people can Google all of this sort of stuff. This is not rocket science. There's so many resources out there, but it's actually putting it in place. And yes, the mindset's one part of it. It's, you know, it's the whole turning up for yourself. And I love to ask that sort of scaling question on a scale of 1 to 10. Where 10, one is not likely at all and 10 is completely likely. How likely are you to want to turn up to that first, you know, appointment that with yourself, i.e. you've put the alarm on to get up at 6 a.m. to go for a run? How likely are you to turn up for that? And then they go, oh, I'm not likely at all. I'm not really likely that I want to get out. So it's those sorts of, you know, asking those sorts of questions that really can shift people's minds.
Yeah. And that probably means that sometimes, I mean, in not all incidences, but sometimes it's like they didn't even want that habit in the first place.
That's what I was just saying.
You know,
say.
Like we put these habits and we think like, I mean, I was there. I was the one that was like, I'm going to do this. This is why. And then I would have that alarm go off. I'm like, what am I doing? I don't want to do this. But it was because the habit was based off of what I was told or what I thought I needed to do versus like what worked for Lisa.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we teach a lot of people is like, your journey is your journey. Like, we're here to teach you the habits, but like you have to choose, I guess, like the behavior changes and the new tiny habits to, you know, embody that change.
Well, yeah, because well-being is not a one size fits all. Yeah. So you go on these blogs and everybody's like, you should meditate. So we'll be real here. I am the meditator of the two of us. Lisa's really good at meditating in her own unique ways.
Yes.
But when we talk about sitting meditation,
yes,
that's me. She meditates for her in other ways. Like, you could share those if you want. But what I was going to say was that well-being is not a one size fits all. And what we find where people struggle the most is personalizing the tools that are out there on the internet. Yeah. Right. Like, how do I make this unique for me? So these are the instructions. This is what the worksheet says, but like, oh, I don't want to do that. So how can I still take that exercise, but personalize it for something that works for me? Mm-hmm. Instead of doing 30 minutes of meditation, can I just do three? Or maybe I want to do a walk in nature without my headphones and just really take in all of the sights and sounds and textures that are around me. That is a meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's about finding what works for you versus feeling like you have to fit into the mold of what all of us, all the influencers or experts are saying, this is what well-being looks like.
Yeah.
And I will say, as someone, like to your point, like meditate differently. I remember when someone brought up meditation to me, I thought it had to be a specific way, back to your point. And it's been such a game changer for me to do what works for me. You know, like we both love to hike and do adventures, but sometimes our adventures are a little bit different. And instead of just doing, I love very intense hikes.
I'm more like yoga and walks.
That's why I keep laughing. But it's like, I think it's twofold. It's not like Libby's like, yes, intense hikes is what's going to make me happy because that's what Lisa says it's going to work. She is very vocal about like, okay, you can go do that. Like, I'm going to go do this. Like, it's being vocal about what you need, but also understanding it, because back to your point, well-being is not one size fits all. And that's like, I think one of the most beautiful things I've learned through all of this too, is it's like respecting other people's like decisions on how they do their well-being, because how Libby does it and how I do it works for us. And then we've come together as a business and we're much happier. Because neither of us are like trying to do those intense hikes, or she loves yoga and I'll do it. But I
like hot yoga for me.
What?
You've slowed down your pace.
I've slowed down my pace, yes.
So you found the balance within the relationship, which is really beautiful. Bit of compromise there in all marriages. So how did you actually get into business together? Because, you know, you were both living separate lives, didn't know each other, and you said it was really quick that you came together. How did you, like, figure out that, you know, both of you wanted to do the same thing at the same time and that we could do it together?
Yeah. So I'll start by saying it's so like years ago, I had two friends that went into business together. I'm so jealous. How did they find the right person? And then over time, people would want to partner, collaborate, all that fun stuff. But it was always like, just like a one and done. I could never find that person that really fit for me. Mm-hmm. And then Libby and I, we met, I remember talking to you for the first time. This is like totally relationship style, but like I was at Starbucks on the phone with Libby chatting with her. And then it was just kind of like, wow, I want to like, this person seemed like very much in my wheelhouse. Like I need to get to know her more. And it was a pivotal moment in my life where we had become decent, you know, good friends like quickly. And we were sitting at another coffee shop and I had just quit my job and I was talking to Libby about it. And we're like, we got this. Like, we're just like, you know, she was very supportive. And then I think it was like 2 weeks later, we're like, so like, we love this stuff. We should start a YouTube channel. And then we started a YouTube channel. This was like a month later. And then a couple months later, this pitch competition came out and I said, hey, like we should do it. Like we should be more than just a YouTube channel. So we built this like business plan together. We got into the pitch competition and we've done like so much changes in our branding. Mm-hmm. But the whole moment, I think like, you know, from the beginning, it was like, okay, like this person fits with my style. She brings a lot to the table that I don't have skill sets in, vice versa. And then we've just been agile and work through everything because we have this passion for helping people with well-being. So I guess like how we met or like how we came to that. That's what I think. Yeah.
It was just a shared passion for wanting to get the knowledge out there. We were both, you know, I was doing my own thing. She was doing her own thing. And we were like, this actually sounds really fun. I've been wanting to do more videos. It'd be so fun to like be in conversation with someone instead of doing it yourself. And so the topics were really inspired by the work that we were doing. Like I was, consulting on my own, doing mindfulness and meditation stuff in the workplaces and starting like my coaching business. She was teaching really similar content. Mm-hmm. And so we would talk about either things that were coming up in the workshops, what participants were saying in our coaching sessions, what had friends just recently talked about, tough things they were going through, what were we personally going through? And we would just have it like they're just conversations, the two of us. And so the business idea was really built around this idea of we want to help like underserved communities, like people that might not, you know, necessarily have like access to all of these resources. And that was because of our exposure and our involvement in committees locally in our area that are about bringing mental health awareness to the community. So doing work against stigma, getting out awareness around resources. And, you know, the reality where we're at is that there's a shortage of staff. So not enough people. Insurance is kind of interesting in what it does and doesn't cover. And, you know, people were saying, you know, the things that you guys do, while it's not therapy, are tools that can help people, you know, in the interim of being able to see someone, or maybe help people that like don't have a series of cases where they need to actually be seeing, you know, a really experienced clinician. And so that was really the inspiration of the YouTube. And the idea then was like, okay, so like I knew I was doing corporate work. I knew there was a need for it. And so the business model, yeah, it just kind of evolved. And then it was like, people were confused on us using the words mental health. They thought we were therapists. And then we were like, well, let's think about this. Like, what's another way to think about mental health? And for both of us, you said it. One day we were like, what are other words we can use instead of mental health, or words that, you know, things that help you with your mental health? And you said it, you were like, play. And I was like, play. And so we started playing with the word, and we both realized that on our journeys, we had realized that a source of our suffering was the fact that we had forgotten how to show up playfully in our lives. We literally forgot how to play, but also we were approaching life in a very serious manner, a very structured manner. A way in which where we didn't like, you know, a situation comes at us that we, you know, judge as being difficult. And it was like, there was nothing playful about the entire experience. And it was a significant source of stress, at least for myself and embodying that mindset. So when we say we're teaching the science of play, this is not that we're encouraging people to get out and play foosball or soccer and things like that, though that might be a part of it. It's this idea. And how do we embody a playful mindset? It's an essence of who we are. How does playfulness become our innate way of being by doing the work to like on the mind, essentially?
Yeah. And I think you've been a really good example of that in the fact that, you know, let's play with a YouTube channel. What could we do there? Let's do that. Yeah. And Lisa, you mentioned before, you know, your branding has changed over time, but that's part of the playfulness. I'm just doing the same thing where I've just gone, oh, that didn't work. Let's not do that again. Let's change this branding to this and that. Let's just see what happens. And that feels more aligned. And honestly, like just, I'm in Canva. I'm just moving a few graphics around and I'm like, I'll just move that down there because I just need it to sit over there. Oh, that actually works. Like I moved it out of the way as opposed to, oh, that's how it's going to work. All right, we'll leave it like that. And so it's that playfulness in our business, which also creates playfulness in our lives. So you both being the example of that being possible, then being able to take it into your teaching, shows people that our corporate lives do not have to be corporate in a box, perfect, and everything rolls forward. That's not what life is.
Yeah. Well, you said it so like Susan, when you said like, you know, you were playing around with something and now you're super proud of it.
Yeah.
I think we forget too, like when you're playing and you come up with this great, like new innovative, like thought or whatever you're coming up with, you're more proud of it because you're like, ah, I have fun doing that. Mm-hmm. Like whoever puts something together in a very negative way and is proud of it at the same time. Normally, you know, we're not as proud, I would say. So it's a different, like, to your point, you're like proud of it and you also had fun in the journey. Yeah. And I think so many times we like think about like up here, this is where we need to get, but we forget about like the journey that like took us there because we didn't enjoy it. We didn't play. We weren't innovative. We didn't think through things. And, you know, we've had a lot of agile, you know, a lot of things over the last year and stuff. And so to your point, it's reminding ourselves even to like, you know, have fun, you know, and that's why we love our YouTube channel.
It's honestly the greatest source of excitement for us when we're like, what are we going to talk about? And it's like, oh, wow. Like, where are we going to go and record this? Because the whole thing is meant to just be like, you are seeing the real Libby and Lisa in whatever outfits we're in that day. Somewhere out in nature, typically. The dog pushed me off the bench the other day when we were recording. It's all in there, right? So it's really meant to, I think when we think about this last year, like pivoting has been like our big word. And we have I appreciate the I'll take that as a compliment in us being able to like really live out this sense of playfulness, because I think sometimes, and we just had this conversation last night about like our energy resources and like, how are we spending our time? And like, we've done so much pivoting, like, you know, staying focused, but at the end of the day, we've had so much fun on the journey. Like it's been extremely rewarding, even though we've been pivoting, and we're both very people that are very flexible and open-minded. And I don't feel like we stick with something too long if it doesn't resonate in our hearts. Like, this doesn't feel good. Like, if one of us doesn't feel good about it, we're like, we move on to the next thing, because it has to be both of us feeling it within us.
Yeah. But I didn't do that years ago. You know, when you're bringing this stuff up, I'm like, yeah, but like, if you would have asked me, I would have just like been like, I don't want to use the words, you know, someone that just like listened to what my boss told me, but I didn't go off the beaten path because I was too scared. I was too nervous. And guess what that caused me? Stomach issues, stress, anxiety. And like, now that I, you know, people will even say, at least you just look happy. And it's because, to your point, like I'm doing a lot of things to take care of my well-being, but I'm also like being flexible. I'm thinking outside the box. And I share all of this to not like bolt, but to say to people like that I was there and you were there too. We were following the demands. We were moving up that ladder. We were following what we needed to. We weren't going off the beaten path in corporate. And who says that you can't do that, you know, but you have to allow yourself that openness, that playfulness in order to do that. And that's really so much of what we want. We just want people to know, like, you can, and it is achievable.
Yeah. And I love how you just said, you know, in the corporate world, you weren't going off the beaten path yet. That's what you do in your world now.
Yes.
Oh yeah. So much.
Yes. Literally. We'll probably be off the beaten path one day in our YouTube video. So
that like the journey that we're on now, like I have learned how to just really trust my intuition. And we do some things and we probably say some things, at least I do, that like I know are challenging the status quo that people might think are weird. But at the end of the day, it feels so freeing to be like our authentic selves, especially with each other. Like, no idea is too crazy. We actually really prefer crazy ideas. And like, we have no problem visioning and like letting our minds wander and imagine. And I did not know how to imagine. When I was in therapy probably 7 years ago, because I left Chicago. Yes, about 7 years ago. I remember very clearly my therapist saying, Libby, what do you like to do for fun? And I just burst into tears. Because I literally could not name one thing. I said sand volleyball in the Midwest, you can do 3 months out of the year. Like it was literally, I was searching so hard. And if you ask me that now, it's like, I can tell you so many things that bring me joy and that make me happy. But in that moment in time, I couldn't answer that simple question.
Yeah.
And so, and to what Lisa said, like I, you know, we are. I do believe that I am an example. People say I could never meditate. You don't know what this mind was going through. I couldn't sleep. If I can train myself to do that, anybody can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the stories that we're telling ourselves about that.
Yeah, 100%. And you just touched on a really something that I wrote down earlier, and I was just like, I don't know when I'll be able to come back to this, but you've just brought it up. So Steve Jobs talks about the fact that you can look back on your life and you can see the dots around where those pivots were and how you could change and how it brought you to where you are now. The thing that I'm playing around with now is fear and how fear is potentially our dots going forward. And fear from a perspective of, oh my gosh, I'm not sure I can make this sort of change, but you know that that's where you've kind of got to go to. Is that what you find in your life and your business?
Oh yeah. I mean, I have that all the time. Even when I present, I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to do this workshop? I don't know what to do or what to say.
Are they going to resonate? All of that kind of stuff. Well, and like, we just did a video, it'll be coming out eventually, about getting comfortable with the uncomfortable. And that's exactly what it is. But I think also at the same time, like when you become agile for a year and a half, you're just like, I'm scared, but we've made it. So might as well just keep trying. I'm not going to say that we're perfect at it because we're still very like, you know, nervous and stuff. But I think the more you put yourself out there, the next step to fear. And it's like, I'm not the best at this all the time, but it's like, okay, what is the reality of the negativity? Like, what's really going to be the reality? Like, okay, if you don't go after something, what's going to be the consequence? What if you do, you know, going through that? whole like perception too. So I don't know, you just made me think of that.
Like when we experience fear, that's exactly where we're supposed to be, because that's an opportunity for growth. And one of the things I like to do when I'm talking myself through these scenarios is to remind myself of time when I challenged the status quo, or I learned something new, or I went into a room and hadn't really prepared well, but it was the most amazing conversation that I ever had. Like I try to, it's like, you know, creating proof for myself of, yeah, you can do this. You can get through this. Yeah. And, we have to remind ourselves of those moments.
And I will say one other thing. I think, coming from the corporate world, we had ladders, we had people at the high up and stuff like that. And so I always just looked at these people as famous in the company. But really, guess what? They put their pants on just like we do. They eat pizza on their floor. They probably play with their dog. Like, they're doing all the things that we're doing. And so I feel like, too, when it comes to humans with fear-based, I have to remind myself that, like, they're just another person. And if you treat them a certain way, like, then that's like how, like, you're not going to build that relationship. So it's like coming in as a humanizing way. Cause there are a lot of times where it's like, oh man, we're going to be with this person. Like you have to shake the hand and you just remind yourself like, nope, that person is just like a dad or just like an uncle, they're just like someone in our lives. And that's, I feel like one thing that we've always said about us is like our relationship building and the way that we like perceive people as humans and just like bringing it down. Like it really does help with them like trusting us. But also to your fear, it brings our fear down and their fear down. Cause they're feeling something on their end too. So
yeah, just let them know. Yeah, that's cool. So tell us all about, if we were to come to a workshop with you, what would that look like? How would we, what sort of tangibles would we take out of it? What sort of things have you found along the way? I think there'd be some great takeaways from those spaces.
Well, the thing is that like the delivery is different, like obviously depending on so many factors. So like over the last year, we are just now getting back into in-person here. So we have several things coming up in August. We're like, we're sick of talking to dots on our computers and not seeing anybody on the other end. Yes. So there's been a lot of things that we've learned in going from what would be like a half day or a full day maybe experience to like these 30-minute snippets were like the theme during COVID, because there was Zoom fatigue and everybody was on their computer constantly for 8 hours a day. But generally what we're teaching in our workshops is our pillar of play framework. So what are our six pillars? Six important things to help you embody a playful mindset. And I'll tell you what those are. So those are our mindset, having a positive mindset, an adventure mentality, understanding our motivation, being open and flexible. What's that? Superpowers, understanding our strengths and finding ways to intentionally play to our strengths, and then cultivating awareness. And so we tell people to remember that by remembering mimosa, which is the letter of each of those, and who doesn't love a good mimosa. And so we're generally teaching people, the importance of those. And then it's all pretty much interactive exercises. So the thing for us that we find is that like the understanding, the research is great, but for most people, this is the one opportunity maybe in their day or their week that they're getting to themselves. And so we want it to be experiential in the sense of like, they're learning how to personalize the tools that we're sharing for them. And we can help them do that because it's more intimate. So we have found too that working in smaller groups, especially in the corporate world, is the way to go. Hands down, but it's really fun. I think that the big thing that we, I think, applaud ourselves in is, trying to understand the culture in which we're walking into, and then being able to prioritize the pillars that might need to be focused on for that specific culture. So that's why it's not a one size fits all.
And we make it playful. I think that's the other thing. Like, it's super important. Like we teach the tools, but we make it playful. Because for me, as someone, for years ago, when I didn't want to, like, it would bring people in and I'd be like, that was cool. Okay, moving on. And so we want it to be an experience. We want them to have fun with it because we want them to change their lives. Like we want them to actually implement these habits. And, sometimes we dance. Sometimes we make other people dance.
I feel like it's normal for us to be doing a dance party. Now everybody's going to know if we come in and do a workshop.
We just like you have to like bring it, you know, back to the point of like, we were super serious like years ago as like, and don't get me wrong, we take our stuff very seriously, but in a playful way. And I think that that's just the joy of bringing well-being habits to so many individuals.
Yeah. And so bringing in that play, releasing, like you said, you were super serious, and I don't take it that you're not serious in your business at all. And I don't think anybody else will be, but it's around, you know, yeah, there are some important parts that I've got to roll out. And there are some parts of my business that I've got to do that perhaps don't, you know, bring me so much joy as the playful parts around getting into those workshops and doing them face to face would be so much more, there'd be so much more energy and so much more opportunity for connection. But it's finding the balance again within the work that you do and knowing that you're not always going to love everything that you do about your job, but you're there for a reason, and understanding your why, I think, is really critical. Yeah. That's beautiful. So when you do the superpowers, can I ask how you approach that? Like, is there like a superpower exercise around, you know, thinking about all the superheroes in the world, which superhero would you be, and which, you know, what tools you bring in from that superhero?
That has been one of the conversation points that we've done.
We've like thought about wearing costumes and all of that fun stuff. We've gotten there before. Our minds
that's a bit too far for me. Yeah.
I would say that we focus when we come to superpowers, we think of your strengths. So our activities are very much focused on how to utilize your strengths more in the workplace and as an individual, instead of always focusing on your weaknesses. Because dang, are we good at that? Yes. We are so good at focusing on our weaknesses that we forget about like how do we strengthen our strengths. In a way. So I would say that all the tools that we teach in you know, these workshops is around teaching people how to utilize your strengths and focus on those instead of always focusing on your weaknesses, which many of us are really good at doing.
Well, yeah. And that's because when we use our strengths, when we're playing to those, it's typically things that like are very interesting to us or that we know how to do really well. And so it can be really gratifying and motivating to continue to use those. And so the science behind it is that we're not finding enough intentional ways to play these strengths throughout our days to create a level of joy and satisfaction and fulfillment, like, you know, within our work or like within our personal lives. And so the idea then is like, we usually do like job crafting as part of that in the workplace. Job crafting to help them find intentional ways to play to those in their current job.
Yeah. And why is it important to play to those? Like, you've touched on a couple of points there, but there's actually an underlying theory around why it's so important to play to our strengths. Are you able to share that with us?
Yeah. And I don't know if this is exactly what you're thinking, but essentially the research that we're talking about or that we're referring to is just this idea, if we're constantly focusing at least on our weaknesses, for me, I'm just going to speak from my personal experience, it gets exhausting. Mm. I'm so negative towards myself, talking down to myself. But the idea is then that if we can do things that make us feel good and fill us up, that it gives us again that momentum to continue on and doing some of the bigger and bolder things.
So. Yeah, no, 100%. So we go from this, exhausted state of focusing on our weaknesses, which is just not the things that perhaps light us up. Whereas when we focus on the things that do light us up, that creates energy in our life and we actually keep moving forward. And it builds on that self-efficacy that you spoke about at the beginning around that self-belief that I can do this and I can start to add in those micro habits and keep moving forward. So that's, yeah, it's such a beautiful gift to give ourselves and for you ladies to be giving the world as well around helping people.
Like, one of the greatest gifts that we can offer to the world is ourselves. And our strengths are a gift that we've cultivated that are, if you want to say they're God-given or whatever your beliefs are, they're things that I've learned how to do well because of my experiences. Why would we not share them with the world? Yeah. Like, literally, like, we are our greatest gift to give to the world, which is why I say this is why we need to care for ourselves. If you cannot share your greatest gift to the world, like, that's, I mean, for me, that's a source of mental, like, illness. It leads to, we don't have opportunities to do that. So it's about filling ourselves up so we can share that with, you know, all of us around or who we come in contact with. We teach the concept of me, we, us, how when we focus on ourselves, it's like this multiplier effect. It impacts every person we come in contact with. Lisa said, people kept saying to her, you look so happy. People were saying that to me. I didn't even know that like what I was doing was necessarily working until people were like, your face looks like it's glowing. And I was starting to lose like the inflammation in my face and in my body from like reducing stress. So it was literally like physiologically, like I was changing. Mm. And so when people started noticing that within me, they wanted to be a part of it. And so it's almost like this, the idea of when we take care of ourselves, because a lot of us want to point the finger at other people, play victim to our circumstances, whatever it is, but when we can hone in on ourselves, which is really the only thing that we have the power to change, that impacts everybody, just kind of in our local awareness, that has the power then to create a movement within the collective, a much broader reach because of the work that we've done for ourselves. And I think that when people start to understand that, you start to really sit back and think, it's like, we know this, but we don't think about it probably often enough or remind ourselves of this.
Yeah. Because too many people, too many people think that it's selfish to start with the me. Like starting with yourself, they just kind of go, you know, I'm from my crowd, you know, I'm a mum, I'm supposed to be doing all these 50 activities plus working, like getting the kids to sport and cooking dinner, and it has to be a fresh meal, like home cooked. And then you've got, you've got your own work and you're trying to do your own self-development as well. And you're just exhausted. But the reality is when we come back in and give ourselves those gifts and slow down and take time for ourselves, it actually has a flow-on effect to the family and then the broader family and your friends. And it just is this ripple effect out into the world.
Yeah.
So can you tell us some of the transformations that you've seen in the work that you do? Because I imagine this would light you up.
Yeah. I mean, I'll share, this is probably one of my favorite stories. So last year during COVID, we worked with an organization that was in Canada, the US and Australia, just all over. And, they were so wonderful to work with, but they had this man that took one of their workshops, and you know, you get those people well, sometimes.
Took on a workshop when he worked there, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he worked there, and so he took one of our workshops, and so he came just kind of, you know, like low and just kind of, you know, what wasn't really, let me back up. He just kind of showed up and he wasn't really wanting to be there. You could tell like someone from leadership probably like wanted him to join. And so we got the facial expression a little bit with it that he wasn't very excited to be there, but you know, we spent 4 weeks with them. And so it was very awesome to see over time, his growth, his smile, him wanting to be more involved, you know, him sharing some stuff in the chat. And so I share that to say that was transformational for me, because as someone who was resistant at one point of my own well-being journey, the little tiny changes over time and having him share with us that they did help, I think was really, you know, beneficial. And so for me, that was a moment that I thought was just really transformational, because, you know, so many times we talk about women and we talk about how women are making transformations, but we never give the men a lot of the same respect sometimes of like what they're going through. And so I thought it was just a beautiful thing for him to like grow over time.
Yeah. And I think some of the other things too that we hear is that like people are sleeping better, you know, because they're able to control the stress. I think another thing is like people saying, you know, my team is coming to me with more ideas than ever before, maybe because you changed something about the way in which you were leading, could be. Enhances communication skills, no doubt. And, you know, maybe we're not scared to have the tough conversations with our boss or with our partner or loved one. You know, it's leaning into this opportunity to find our inner voice and express it, that I feel like a lot of people talk about in our work. I think the biggest thing that I think is so, it fascinates me, the biggest takeaways from people. One of the things, like when we do these series of workshops that I feel like people focus on are just, it's so simple. It's like this concept of jolts of joy, like finding intentional ways to bring jolts of joy into your day. And it's like you make them make a list and, you know, then they, you know, put them in their phone or however they decide is the best way for them to remember those things. And it's like they're remembering what makes them happy because they've been thinking about their kids or other people for so long that they're remembering themselves in that moment. And so then the challenge is for them to go and do one of those things at least once a day. You know, whatever that means. And then like the tiny habits things, you know, when we show them the recipe, they're like, oh my gosh, this is so easy. So I think it's just this remembrance of like well-being is simple. It can be simple to take care of myself. And that has so many different effects. I mean, we think in the business world, it impacts engagement, customer service numbers, which impacts revenue. And there's so many things that people have said that client you were referring to too has told us that their employees have bounced back now that they were in high-end like fashion. Now that like stores are back open and customers are placing orders and salespeople are back out, it's just like they've been so resilient and they bounce back so fast when the market's open. And, you know, I would say that one of the compliments was we were so thankful that we were proactive in doing that training. They did other things as well. But, you know, to give people this type of education is so important. It can be small things that are changing, but it can have massive impacts.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned the fashion retailer there around. That could have been one of the things that they cut really early on because of COVID and things, but they didn't. And I remember you saying, Lisa, that like they doubled down and said, we need to do more. How can we do that? And the impact has been huge for them.
They didn't even have learning and development like strategy for COVID. So they really did double down when we think about that, because they were like, oh my gosh, like they were suffering financially, but yeah, they made the investment. And it's an amazing model for so many other businesses. And I'm an HR person, so I'm super biased, but that should not be the first thing that goes is your L&D budget, especially in times of a pandemic and a crisis.
Yeah. And especially for fashion companies who are very tight on their margins anyway, like compared to some of the other corporations and things like that, fashion is one of the tightest ones. And people don't realize it. Like they go and buy that $10 top and I'm like, yeah, people haven't been paid properly for you to buy that top. And so, yeah, their margins in terms of operating is so, so strict and so tight. So for them to then double down and go, we're going to invest here and we're going to look after our people. And like you said, they'll be like, they're resilient on the back end. Like that's phenomenal. And that they'll be able to jump back into the space and thrive on the other side. I think some companies are still trying to pick up the pieces and they're the ones that have probably got the money in the bank that haven't invested.
Yeah, there's a really amazing book. Have you read the book called The Healing Organization?
No. By Roger?
I highly recommend it to you and to all of the listeners. That gives examples of companies from all over the world who are basically using this concept of being a healing organization, that they're places that are thinking beyond, you know, shareholder returns, but how are we really truly and authentically treating our people, and like how are our business practices impacting the earth? But I'm specifically referring to like some of the people initiatives. It's an amazing book, which just, it gave me hope when I read it to see all of the examples of organizations that are doing things like this to be good stewards, to be honest.
There's a company, so just touching back on fashion, there's a company here in Australia, and I think it's available globally. And I know that it comes out of they do checks on the States as well. It's called Good On You. Have you heard of them?
No.
No. So you can jump on their website or it's an app, but they actually rate fashion labels based on the impact to the world. So it's the environment. Yeah, it's the products, like the dyes and stuff like they use. Are they GOTS certified? Are they paying a living wage? And they actually rate these labels based on that. So that, yes, go this way, don't go that way kind of stuff. It's really interesting.
That's really interesting, yeah.
Wow. So there's plenty of amazing people out there that are doing incredible work like yourselves as well. I'm wondering if you're finding or if you've seen, and perhaps COVID's not a great time for that because people have wanted to just sort of stay safe and do what they need to do to survive. But once people are starting to make these transformations within themselves, are they starting to take different directions? You know, like similar to you ladies, similar to myself, like we were all in corporate roles and yet we've all made this shift to something that is more aligned to you. Are you starting to see that with the people that you're working with as well?
I'll go first in saying that, you know, I would say that they're not changing their jobs. I would say they're making more of an impact, and they're, I don't want to use the word demanding, but it's just the word coming up for me, is they're setting precedents of like, I need to take more breaks. I need this type of lifestyle. And they're setting that balance for themselves. And so I think that that's just super important for us to let, you know, for that I've just seen from them when it comes to COVID and wanting to be more empowered to make changes in their lives, based off of, you know, learning more about well-being and taking control. So, I think that that is so awesome, because it's been, I know so many of them are passionate about their job. They love the people that they work with. They loved all of that stuff. So they don't want to take away that stuff, but they had to take care of themselves. And so I think that that's the most beautiful thing that I'm seeing through all of this, is like, hearing them take care of themselves is just like the most beautiful thing. And sometimes, to be honest, it's not even our clients that I'm seeing with it with. It's the people that we're surrounding ourselves with, who are spending time with us, and they're seeing the transformations. And then they're like, I want that too. What are you guys drinking? So that I can like join in on it. And then they're able to learn their own well-being techniques and, you know, embody that mindfulness mindset as well.
Yeah. And to echo what Lisa said, it doesn't always mean it's a job change. Like, we don't, our mission is not to go in and to have everybody change jobs or quit jobs, but to find greater fulfillment in their life. So typically when somebody starts this journey, a massive shift of some sort happens. And that could be like what Lisa was saying, like boundaries are put in place. Maybe you make friends with a new friends group. Maybe it means like what we're seeing right now is so many people. It's like this exodus from these huge cities like New York City and San Francisco and Chicago to like smaller towns. Right. So like, again, sometimes major events or major transformations lead to us taking bigger and bolder chances and making those decisions finally in our life. But that's different again for everyone and how that shows up. So it's not, again, I think that I always tell people to be prepared when you say yes to like prioritizing yourself to like what this could bring up, but not in a scary way, more of a like cultivate awareness within yourself to know where you're at and how it is impacting your life. Because when you start to realize, you know, what you said at the very beginning, when we get out of the habit of doing things that no longer serve us or just going about our day habitually, and we actually remember that we have a choice, we get to choose in any moment, we start doing things that are more nurturing and satisfying, that will lead to a shift that will impact somebody else as well. It's not just you. And so I would say there will be a shift of some sort, but they're always exciting and nobody is ever regretting them.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. And all of those yes things, like when you start to say yes, lots of things start to come in and then you're like, whoa, hang on a minute. And at least you get to pull in the things that really light you up and say, and start to learn to put boundaries on the other things. And so start to play with that. That's cool. Awesome. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share before we move into the wrap up? This has been amazing. So I've really enjoyed it. But I'd love to offer you, yeah, anything you'd like to
share. Yeah, I would just say, you know, if anybody out there is struggling with their well-being journey and need some support, Libby and I are here for you. Again, we want to make well-being achievable for everybody. And, you know, another way is subscribing to our YouTube channel, Lisa and Lib. It's on, you know, YouTube, and we have weekly videos coming out every week where we share tools, techniques, and we take you guys on our journey of our own lives to, you know, playfulness and well-being too. So I would say that those are the two things. Like, we're here to help corporations, we're here to help individuals. And then we do that through our YouTube channel as well as in person.
Yeah. And I would say, like, just don't give up wherever you're at, whatever you're feeling today. Like, you know, for me, it's like, we have to experience the dark and the lightness. We have to experience the good and the bad. You can't just have one all the time. And so wherever you're at, just know that there's kind of like hope at the end of the tunnel. There's light at the end of the tunnel. So,
yeah. And there's plenty of people out there being the example of that too. So just, you know, hang out with those people. You don't have to actually make any other changes. just follow them online and just see what they're doing, or have conversations with them and see how that just naturally impacts your own life. Yeah.
Yeah.
So ladies, can you share with me what's one thing that you do for self-love?
Well, I feel like I do a lot of things for self-love. I feel like right now for me, it's interesting. I probably would never would have said this years ago, but it's adventures. It's sometimes I just like get in my car and like a week, you know, 2 weeks ago, I took my dog up to this like hiking spot and just was by myself for about 2 hours hiking. It's trying something new. So I would say that that's a new way of me looking at self-love. I would always used to answer running. Running was my self-love, but I found like just new things over time that like is my moment that fill up my cup.
Yeah.
I would say like for me, when I'm feeling the anxiousness and feeling down, it's like saying no to things on my calendar and doing what makes me happy. So that could be going to my favorite coffee shop, which is like by our riverfront here, and walking on the river and then maybe sitting under a tree with my blanket and journaling or reading a book or just kind of like, you know, observing nature. And it's usually like for me when like self-care for me is doing what I love, but I also have to create space in my life. So it's typically like I go into the Libby world, like I have to focus on myself. I don't want to be around a lot of people. And that could be a couple of minutes. It could be an hour. And I realize not everybody, you know, may have the ability to be able to do that. Like I don't have kids. So it's a lot easier for me, but I would say like doing something, that I love. And I always ask my body, what do you need right now? What do you need today? So sometimes that, you know, could be like going on an adventure. Sometimes it's just getting another meditation in for the day.
Yeah. And being able to do it, like, as you, you know, you said, mums don't have a lot of time or can't create a lot of time around babies, but, or young children, but just even sitting on the toilet and you can close your eyes for a couple of minutes and just, or a couple of seconds and just take a few breaths. Like, it's not ideal. It's not, but you can then use your imagination to visualize exactly where you want to be. And maybe that's somewhere down the track, but just taking those pockets of time can be really valuable too.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Cool. Well, what's one thing you do for fun? I'm excited about this question with you, ladies. I think you've got, I think the arsenal bag would be huge.
You know, I think to your point about like when I have like 3 minutes where I just need to have some fun, I turn music on and dance in my kitchen. Point blank, like if I'm looking for that like tiny habit, that's the quick and I shouldn't call it quick and dirty, but basically like, it's like, okay, like I need to get out of this mindset. I need to have some fun. Let's crank the tune. So for me, like that's actually been something that's become very, habitual in my life, to have fun. And I think the other thing is like, I love humans. So like, I love being with people and like, I love like that type of thing. So I feel like I've been having fun doing that.
Yeah. I would agree with the, like the dancing thing. That's why it's part of our workshops, because we both share that interest. But I think for me too, like I love learning new things. So it's not unusual for me to be like, I'm going to sign up for that how to make pottery class, or I'm into learning how to ride a horse these days. So I'm going to take horseback riding lessons for a little while. So it's usually, for me, it's super fun to immerse myself in learning something new. I'm kind of like the research nerd, like, you know, of the two of us, I love reading and learning new things. And so, yeah, I think that's, you know, something else for me. And again, like, I think it just goes to show some of the differences we have in like our perception of fun.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's so broad.
I learn how to use TikTok. So that is not on her research list.
That's on yours, Lisa?
I do our reels. Yeah. I do them on Instagram.
And they can be fun too. Like they can be a rabbit hole, much like the research. They can be this massive rabbit hole.
That's my research. Yep.
See, you balance each other out perfectly, which is amazing. So you've given us heaps of information to hear today. So if myself and the listeners were to take one thing away and implement it in our own lives in service of you, what would that be? Well, it could be one thing each. Go for it.
One takeaway. I think my biggest thing that like I'm just hearing echoing, and I'll just share this, is that like don't overthink it. Like life is meant to be simple. So we need to stop overthinking and over conceptualizing, for sure, well-being, since that's our topic for today, but so many areas of our life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say for me is just know that you're not alone.
Yeah.
We are here, but we've been at the rock bottom of rock bottom when it came to our well-being. And so like knowing that, like, if you're struggling, like you're not the only one, and that there is like, it is achievable to get out of the hole.
Yeah, totally. Thank you so much. So Lisa, you mentioned before your YouTube channel is, do you have a website? Do you have other resources? Like, you're on Instagram. Are you on TikTok? Where can we find you?
We are on Instagram, Blue Wave Wellbeing. So it's blue without the E. So Blue Wave Wellbeing, Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn. And then our website is bluewavewellbeing.com. And then our email address is hello@bluewavewellbeing.com. And then our YouTube is Lisa and Lib. It's on YouTube. So awesome. Check it out.
Awesome. Thank you so much, ladies. This has been an amazing conversation and I felt very aligned through the whole conversation. So it was really great to just connect with you. Thank you for doing the work that you're doing out in the world as well. Like, it's so important what you're doing and how much of an impact that you're having on the world. So thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah, this was great.
Thank you for joining me today, and I have a couple of small favors to ask. If you love this episode, please share it with someone you love and you know the episode will resonate with. Also, to help spread the word about my podcast, please head over to iTunes and leave me a review. I love hearing your thoughts about my podcast and what's resonating with you. Plus, it helps us share my podcast with the rest of the world, which is amazing. Finally, thank you so much for being here. I'm super grateful for you and I'm truly honored you've spent your time with me. Let's keep rising, let's keep growing, because it's totally possible to live a life you love every day right where you are. See you in the next episode.